Will you turn with me, please, to the passage that we read in the second book of Chronicles, chapter 34. And I'd like to deal with this chapter and this King Josiah, of whom we read in it. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. He reigned in Jerusalem 31 years, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. And so on, right to the end, we read in the 33rd verse, and all his days they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. Josiah, King Josiah, of whom we read in this chapter, was a great grandson of Hezekiah, whom we considered last time. Hezekiah was a king of Judah, a good king, who did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, instrumental under the hand of God of revival and reformation in the southern kingdom of Judah. He died, Hezekiah, went to his reward around 686 BC, and he was followed by his son Manasseh, of whom we read that he did evil in the sight of the Lord. Although, as we read in chapter 33 and verses 10 to 17, it appears that in Manasseh's experience, there was a turning to the Lord latterly in his life, and a measure of restoration or reformation. And we read that in chapter 33, verses 10 to 17, but the general description of Manasseh's reign in Judah was that he did evil in the sight of the Lord and was an extremely wicked king, apart from that period latterly when he seemed to repent, when he did repent and turn to the Lord. Manasseh's son Amon took over. We read this in chapter 33, verse 22, and of Amon we read that he did evil in the sight of the Lord. He didn't reign very long, a couple of years between 642 and 640 BC. And then there was Josiah. Josiah was very, very young when he came to the throne. 8 years old only, he came to the throne. And although he had a very bad example from his father and grandfather, with the qualification of Manasseh's repentance, it is a remarkable thing that here was a man, the character of whose kingship is described there in verse 2, that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, walked in the ways of his father David, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. Josiah was one of the finest of all the kings of Judah. It is a wonderful that is said that he did right in the sight of the Lord. What a wonderful thing if this could be an epitaph for you and me, that always we did right in the sight of the Lord. Is this your conviction? Is this your desire today, that your life should be characterized in this way, doing right in the sight of the Lord? But that's not the only thing said of Josiah. It said that he turned neither to the right or to the left. This is a further commendation of Josiah. Now, he began to reign when he was 8. And we read here in verse 3 that he began to seek the Lord in his 8th year. The 8th year of his reign. In other words, 16 years old. 16 years old, he sought the Lord. And I must say, young people, children here, there are three of you here this morning, I just say to you, don't think that faith in God is somehow something for old people or for old age. Something that you can take care of later in your life. You cannot come to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior too young. You can't. You can't. You can't be too old either to trust in Him and profess Him. What an inspiration Josiah is, surely, and challenge to young and old alike. The reigns as king of his father and grandfather, well, they had been largely characterized by being given over to departing from the ways of the Lord. There had been no real spiritual and moral direction. In other words, the situation in which this young man found himself, age 16, however much he knew about being king between aged 8 and 16, was something very like the situation that we face in our day. And he came to the throne, and in his 16th year, when he was 16, everything changed. He began to seek the Lord, the God of his father David. At 20, we read in verse 3 here, he began to institute Reformation fully. 6 years later, age 26, he set to repairing the temple. We read this in verse 8. The temple had been closed for years. The last spiritual awakening in Judah had taken place under the kingship of his great-grandfather, Hezekiah, generations before. And it teaches us, who knows when the Lord might not move and quicken and awaken, or who he might use to do it. And not necessarily an old man or an old woman. We should all desire to be used of him in this. Well, the Lord was clearly dealing with Josiah, but there was this turning point in his experience. And the turning point really was not just what we read in verse that he came when he was 16 to seek the Lord, but there was a turning point as well when the temple was being cleaned up and repaired. A discovery was made. A discovery of the book of the law. And Hilkiah the priest found it. We read in verse 14. And when this was brought to the attention of the king and read to him, the reaction was dramatic. He tore his clothes, we read in verse 19. And in verse 27, we read that he had wept. He heard the word of God, and he tore his clothes, and he wept. Well, why would he do such a thing? My dear friends, it is the power of the word of God to convict of sin. He had this book that had been discovered, sent to a lady who was called a prophetess, Huldah. And she sends back with the warnings, verses 23 to 25. The king is complicit in this guilt. The kings of Israel, Judah, had been complicit in this guilt. But for his faithfulness, he would live out his kingship well. Now, some people say that the book that was found was just the book of Deuteronomy. And that is perhaps the most likely scenario, though it could have been the first five books of Moses. But perhaps more likely, given how Huldah the prophetess comments on it, the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy deals with the blessings and the curses. The blessings of keeping the law and the curses of not keeping it. Very, very specifically. But the people are gathered to hear it read in verses 29 and 30. And they join in making a covenant to the Lord. Here is an evidence of a stirring of interest created by the Spirit of God. And even if it were just the book of Deuteronomy, incidentally, this scroll was found and was read to Josiah the king. The book of Deuteronomy would take 3 or 4 hours to read. And this was read in front of the people, and we may be aghast. So used are we to having an hour or so, an hour and 10 minutes of a service. And perhaps we think even that 33 verses are long to be read in a service. But Reformation follows. We read that in verse 33. And the Passover is reintroduced again as it was in Hezekiah's time, chapter 35. Now, an interesting lesson from this, before we look more particularly at what happened with Josiah, an interesting lesson here is this. Though there was Reformation, just very distinctly Reformation and revival in the time of Hezekiah, there afterwards was a falling back, and there was a departure from the true worship. In other words, we have here this cycle, this sad tendency. If there is not diligence in spiritual life, there is this tendency for the church to fall away from the true gospel and to plunge into spiritual darkness and declension. This is the sad state we are in our land today. There is still gospel witness. We are thankful to the Lord, and we cry out to the Lord that it might be strengthened and that his power would attend it. But there has been such declension. There is little thought of God in people's lives, in family life, in social life, in parliamentary life. What a sad state we are in. It teaches us, of course, that spiritual life is not transmitted by bloodlines or by genes. Each generation must stand in the evil day or fall from faithfulness and experience what Huldah sees in this word. Verse 25, because they have forsaken me, burned incense to other gods, they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be poured out upon this place and shall not be quenched. And I don't believe it is too fanciful for us to maintain that there is this experience being experienced in our land and in Western Europe nowadays. It's not that there is something dramatic happening necessarily for us to understand that the wrath of God is upon us, because these people were getting on with their lives okay. But they realized, they were awakened to the reality that God's wrath was upon them. But this also teaches, you see, that he is the same God. He is a God of mercy upon all who call upon him in truth. And there was recovery in Josiah's day. What a wonderful verse is verse 33 in this context. The Lord is willing to be gracious, and the Lord is willing to be gracious in our day as well. Only we must listen to his word and act upon it and return to him. Let us be people who believe it. Let us be people who obey it. Let us be people of spiritual liveliness. Well, this is the authentic spiritual Christian experience, and one that will be evident when the Lord moves in reviving power in the midst of our people. I'd like to say 3 things about Josiah's experience. And the first is this. There is an earnest seeking of the Lord. Verse 3. For the 8th year of his reign, when he was 16, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. 16, he began to seek the Lord. Consider the prevailing declension. Consider the prevailing ignorance. This is remarkable. what happened in Josiah's experience. Consider the immediate forefathers that had given such a bad example, with the qualification perhaps that, well, Manasseh had finally repented. It is remarkable. We often find, and we are in a period of declension, we often find that the offspring of good parents depart from the example and teaching of their parents. And it is inevitably a grief to such parents when that happens. But here is a case, remarkably, in which Josiah, for whatever reason it happened, humanly speaking, he sought the Lord. We're not told how he came to do it. But the reality of what happened to him at this young age of 16, the reality of it, that there was a real, true spiritual change before the Lord, is quite clear from what we have in verse 2, which is the general characterization of his kingship. He did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. He declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. And verse 33, all his days they departed not from following the Lord. It is clear that whatever happened in his youth, this was a real thing. It wasn't just, as we say, a flash in the pan. But let's remember, there were no services. There were no services. There was no Bible. How did this come about? Doubtless he'd been taught something of the law, some of its contents and truths, from the mere tradition. But knowledge of the law of God and the worship of God seemed to have died almost completely. They were so surprised when this book of the law was found in the temple, which had been disused. There was clearly sufficient in the memory and traditions of godliness to awaken in Josiah, by the grace of God, concern for his soul, concern for sin, concern to seek the Lord. I have no doubt that he would have struggled. He would have struggled exactly what the right way was. No doubt there were many mistakes that Josiah made. No doubt his understanding of God and of truth we might find quite deficient or incomplete. But it is wonderful that the Lord can open the heart in an unlikely situation, or in a situation even of abject ignorance. The Lord can open the heart, and people may open their hearts to the Lord, though there is limited knowledge or information to hand. Having said that, this seems to put a greater onus upon ourselves, because we aren't in the same position as Josiah. How? We've got so much more. Think of what we have. We have the Bible. We have the worship of God here. The exposition of the Word. Books without number that are valuable and stimulating spiritually. If we would use them, it would seem to make us all the more inexcusable for not following the Lord. To whom much is given, much will be required. And how true that is of the experience on Skye and the Highlands in general. Now, Josiah sought the Lord when he was in his teens. 16. And it may be that the general tendency in the Highlands and Islands has been not to expect such things in the youth, in the young, perhaps even to be skeptical about young people professing. It may be that there has been discouragement in urging young people to believe and follow Christ. Why? Yet Josiah is a case, I would suggest to you, of how much better it is for the young to follow the Lord, for the young to come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, before the hardening process of sin dulls older people to the necessity for repentance and faith and godliness. One person has put it this way: young people often put off the search, not forever, as they might think, but for a time, thinking it could be taken up whenever they please. They will take up the search. They will take up the search later. But the will to take up the search is lost by postponement, he says. And the vision of God is made difficult by abandonment to sin. People get set in their ways, and nothing happens in their lives as they get older. There is a lesson here in urging the young to get right with Christ, but listen, the old too, the older too, the urgency to seek the Lord, not least as they are faced with the sinking of the sands of time and the reality that soon they, you and me, must face our Maker and our Judge. You cannot do so safely if you have not sought and found the Lord Jesus for your soul. There is an earnest seeking of the Lord, and that at a young age in the case of Josiah, and one which continued in his life to the end with perseverance. Secondly, there is a conscientious responsiveness to the Word of God. We have this in verse 21. Go inquire of the Lord for me and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in the book. Verse 19. It came to pass when the king had heard the words of the law that he rent his clothes. And verse 27. Because thine heart was tender, we'll come to that in a moment, and is humble thyself, when thou heardst the words against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, humblest thyself before me, and is rend thy clothes and weep before me, I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord. Now, we mentioned that there surely must have been early ignorance by and large on the part of Josiah. So little material did he have to hand upon which to go on. Not when he first sought the Lord. But the fact was that he was serious, and that he did have a real and living faith in the Saviour. And this was demonstrated by the fact that what we read here in verses 3 to 7, he went ahead with reformation, religious reformation. And it is also shown in the 18th year of his reign, age 26, the book of the law was discovered whilst renovations were taking place in the temple. The desire of Josiah had been to restore the temple to usefulness. And this scroll book, perhaps the book of Deuteronomy that was found, was taken to Josiah and read before him. The book of Deuteronomy, as we mentioned earlier, would perhaps take 3 or 4 hours to read. He must have listened to it with great attentiveness. I suppose we would be very impatient. But he wasn't. Deuteronomy, fifth book of Moses, as it is called, the word means second law, or alternatively a repetition of the law. It is a statement of the law of Moses, the law of God given through Moses, with applications and exhortations, more so, for example, than what we find in Numbers and Deuteronomy, Numbers and Leviticus. There are applications and exhortations. Point is, what was Josiah's reaction? He tore his clothes. In verse 27, he wept before the Lord. Why? Conviction of sin, that's why. Conviction of how wrong they had been, how ungodly their lives had been, how wanting they were in real faithfulness to God. He wants to understand better as well. This is the thrust of verse 21 there. His first reaction is to tear his clothes. He gets the message. He gets the message. But then he sends it to this prophetess Huldah for explanation. And he gets the explanation. Here's a sign that he really did have a godly frame of mind and heart. Here is a sign of a man or woman, youth or child, whose heart the Lord has touched, whose heart the Lord has opened. They will hear or read the word, and they will have an overwhelming desire to do it. Is this how you feel when you are exposed to the Bible and its message? An overwhelming desire to know more. An overwhelming desire to do it. To act upon it. James, in his letter in the New Testament, put it well when he said, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." And as we read verse 21, what Josiah instructs, this word, inquiring the Lord concerning this word, you cannot but recognize just what is happening in our day. Great is the wrath of God that is poured on us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do according to all that is written in this book. I speak generally here in relation to religion in our land. There is conscientious responsiveness on the part of Josiah to the word that he hears. It comes like a shock to his system. But then, thirdly, there is a humble tenderness of heart towards the Lord. This is in verse 27. The word comes back from Huldah as the word of the Lord to him. "Because thine heart was tender and thou didst humble thyself before God, when thou heardest his words against this place, against the inhabitants thereof, and humblest thyself before me, and didst rend thy clothes and weep before me, I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord. Behold, I will gather thee to thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered to thy grave in peace." When Josiah read of the judgments that must befall the people on account of their continued apostasy and irreligion, he could not but be moved. Moved. Moved to tears. Moved to tears. Here's a thing. When were you last moved to tears? When were we last moved to tears? By the word of God, by the terrible indifference to the person and claims of the Lord Jesus Christ that is so widespread. When were you last, dear friend, inclined to humble yourself before the Lord, to go aside by yourself and unburden yourself and to humble yourself before your Maker? When were you last inclined to ponder the reality that someday I must meet my judge on the judgment day, and what will I have to say then? What does exposure to the Bible and its message do for you in your life? He rent his clothes. He wept because he saw that there was such a great difference between the standards of God and what was going on in the church of his day. Is your heart genuinely moved? Josiah accepted the word and his heart was tender. It's a lovely expression that we have there in verse 27. Because thine heart was tender. What does it mean? His heart was softened towards and no doubt by the word that he heard. It moved him. Didn't leave him the same as he had been before. Softened. It brought conviction to him. It brought grief for sin and for causing offense to God. His heart was sensitive to what God had spoken through his word. We need to recover such sensitivity to what God speaks through his word for our own day and for our own lives. Ah, there was no rebellion here. There was no resistance to what God had spoken. There was no hardness against providences experienced. There was no hardness against the threatenings of judgment faced. It all alarmed him and it moved him. And the question for us and any generation is, how moved is your heart under the hearing of God's words? Yes, the tender appeals of the Lord to souls to come to faith in Jesus, as well as the threatenings of judgment and the fact that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. How moved is your heart in the face of these things? Have you a tender heart? Have you a tender heart for yourself or in yourself? Has the word softened you so much that you desire to humble yourself before him? And have you a tender heart towards others? It wasn't just that Josiah had this tender heart for himself, but it was for others too. The plight of others, the plight of this people, the nation, who had turned their back upon the Lord. Are you tender-hearted for others? How touched is your heart for the plight of others, who must also appear before the judgment seat of Christ? And if that is heartbreaking for you, these thoughts with reference to others, what their plight is, and what will overcome them unless there is a change? Ah, then you have a tender heart like Josiah. As someone has written, if revival is to come, a tender heart that will be concerned for others must be ours. And if we have not a tender heart, we must seek for one. The question is, are you seeking for one today? Will you? What will be involved with that? Here is the challenge. We must be prepared to yield our hearts for considerable periods of time to the influence of the word. The truth is, we just don't do it. We just don't do it. And we must pray for those who are ignorant of God's word that they may be awakened. It is in such things, my dear friends, learning from the experience of good King Josiah, that we will find ourselves for ourselves, and we will find ourselves in relation to others in the midst of a spiritual awakening and a revival which surely must be so much desired. Oh, let us seek the Lord, and let us be tender-hearted towards his word, sensitive as he speaks to us through the word. Let us seek the Lord early, and let us go through our lives seeking the Lord, and seeking in all that we do and say and think to live in a way which is consistent with the standards of God as expressed through his revealed word. And may the Lord bless these thoughts upon his word. Let us pray. Our loving Father in heaven, we bow in thy presence this morning and thank thee for thy word, and pray that thou wouldst give us the tender heartedness in relation to the application of the word of God for our lives and for others. Lord, bless us in this church and in our own families and our own lives. Lord, help us to honor and glorify thy great name. Come amongst us, Lord, in thy mercy and in thy love. Forgive us all our sin, for Jesus' sake.